Today is August 31st, 2026. This is your functional health briefing for patient. In the next 6 to 8 minutes, we'll cover the real physiology behind burnout, how your mitochondria and thyroid quietly shape your energy levels, and fresh research on blood vessel health, microplastics, and heart risk that all point to the same lesson this week. Your body is talking, and it's worth listening closely. Here's something worth holding on to before we go any further. If you've been feeling drained, foggy, or like you're running on fumes, that is not a character flaw. It's not a sign that you're not trying hard enough. According to Dr. Neha Sangwan, speaking with Dr. Mark Hyman, burnout is a measurable physiological state, not a personal failing. You have every right to trust what your body is telling you, and to treat that signal as information rather than something to push through. Dr. Sangwan breaks burnout down into three parts working together. Exhaustion, a creeping cynicism about things you used to care about, and a sense that you simply can't function the way you used to. She describes it building in stages, almost like a pot slowly coming to a boil. First, there's an alarm phase, where your body sounds the first warning bells. Then an adaptation phase, where you push through and things seem to stabilize. And finally, an exhaustion phase, often triggered by one more small stressor landing on a system that was already full. Dr. Hyman adds that this isn't just emotional, it's biological. He points to physiologist Bruce McEwen's research on what's called allostatic load, essentially the wear and tear that chronic stress places on your body over time, and reminds us that the World Health Organization officially classified burnout back in 2019 as an occupational phenomenon tied to chronic stress. In other words, this is real, it's documented, and it deserves real care. Building on that idea of energy running low, let's zoom into the cellular level, because this is where things get really interesting. Dr. Hyman describes something he calls FLC syndrome, fatigue, brain fog, and achiness that so many people quietly live with. He connects this to your mitochondria, which you can think of as tiny power plants inside every one of your cells. As we age, he explains, we naturally have fewer of these power plants, and the ones we do have become less efficient, producing less usable energy and more waste byproducts along the way. Over time, that imbalance feeds into nearly every major chronic health concern he writes about in his book, Young Forever. Your thyroid tells a similar story, and it's one worth understanding with some nuance. Dr. Eric Berg explains that roughly 80% of the iodine in your body concentrates right there in your thyroid gland, which acts like your body's metabolic thermostat. Here's the paradox, though. Both too little iodine and too much iodine can create the exact same tired, foggy, cold, all-the-time symptoms. More is not automatically better here. Balance is what matters. Dr. Berg also notes that turning inactive thyroid hormone into its active, usable form requires selenium, and that if you have an autoimmune thyroid condition like Hashimoto's, you may be especially sensitive to extra iodine. This is exactly the kind of thing worth testing rather than guessing about. That same balance, not excess, theme shows up again when we talk about your blood vessels. Dr. Berg explains that nitric oxide, the molecule that helps your arteries relax and stay flexible, naturally declines as you get older. By age 40, he says, you may be producing only about half of what you made at 20. More importantly, some everyday habits can speed that decline along. Things like using antibacterial mouthwash frequently or going through repeated rounds of broad-spectrum antibiotics, both of which can reduce the mouth bacteria responsible for turning the nitrates in your food into that helpful nitric oxide. Zooming out a bit, Dr. Hyman's recent congressional testimony helps explain why so many of us are feeling this all at once. He shared that 93.2% of Americans are now considered metabolically unhealthy, and that roughly 60% of the average American diet is made up of ultra-processed food. He connects this directly to insulin resistance, which he describes as a common thread running quietly through obesity, heart disease, and even mood. He also raises something worth sitting with. Standard lab testing may miss early warning signs entirely. Many labs still call a vitamin D level of 20 nanograms per milliliter normal, while he considers something closer to 45 to 50 nanograms per milliliter to be optimal for most people. That gap is a good reminder that reference ranges often reflect population averages, not what's actually ideal for your own body. And on the food side, things are more nuanced than headlines often suggest. Dr. Hyman reviewed more than 72 studies covering over 600,000 people and found no clear link between saturated fat and heart disease for most people. What seems to matter more is how your meat is raised and how it's cooked, rather than avoiding it altogether. He also pushes back gently on the idea that eating well has to be expensive, pointing to free resources, like produce guides from the Environmental Working Group and local community-supported agriculture programs as accessible starting points. Ben Greenfield rounded out the week with a few research findings worth knowing about, and I want to walk through what they actually show, because the details matter. A short 7-day trial found that swapping out plastic cookware and food storage containers lowered measurable levels of BPA and other plastic-related chemicals in the body more effectively than changing personal care products alone did. Separately, an observational study of over 4,000 people found that regular runners actually had better hydrated, healthier spinal discs than people who don't run. A reassuring update if you've ever heard that running wrecks your back. And from a large heart health study of more than 6,000 people, researchers found that the actual volume of plaque in the coronary arteries tracked more closely with real heart attack risk than standard risk calculators do. Alongside that, a University of Edinburgh study of over 1,700 patients found that people with greater chest and back muscle density had a lower heart attack risk over the following decade, which makes a strong case for simple strength work like rows and planks. Finally, researchers Dr. Lee Hood and Dr. Nathan Price describe something they call scientific wellness. In their coaching program, participants who stayed engaged reduced their biological age by about 1.5 years for every calendar year for women, and about 0.8 years per year for men, simply through structured lifestyle support. Think of it like a visual progress map, showing what steady, consistent support can do over time. And Dr. Cohen-Weidix offered a gentle reminder that constantly reacting to life rather than planning for it with intention, drains the same limited reserves of energy we've been talking about all along. So here's your one simple, cost-free step for today. Take 2 minutes, right now or sometime this afternoon, and quietly check in with yourself across 5 areas: physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual energy. Just ask, for each one, does this feel like it's filling me up right now or draining me? No fixing required, no judgment, just noticing. That single moment of awareness is often the earliest and most useful signal you have. You've got this. Take care of yourself. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.